Good morning. It's 11 minutes before 8 a.m. This is Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Today is Friday, December 27th, 2013. I'm Melissa Marconi-Wenzel with Raven News. Human skeletal remains discovered in KCAW's basement in 2011 were removed from the cable house last Friday. The bones were identified as Alaska Native and are now in the custody of the Sitka Tribe of Alaska. KCAW's Emily Foreman has the story.
The human remains were initially found by construction workers in the midst of structural improvements to the historic cable house, home of Raven Radio, in October of 2011. New information revealed that the bones are Native Alaskan, likely Southeast in origin. The bones remained in the basement undisturbed until Friday. That was when they were exhumed from the cable house basement and turned over to the Sitka Tribe of Alaska. Brian Kemp, an assistant professor at Washington State University, tested mitochondrial DNA in a tooth and identified the remains as Native American. He also screened DNA on sex chromosomes and found that the tooth had belonged to a female. Kemp said that given the data available, it is not possible to trace the bones to a specific population because the DNA sequence is widely common in Native American lineage. While the remains are believed to be old and likely predate the 103-year-old building that houses Raven Radio, Kemp does not know how old. He says radiocarbon dating is required to determine the age of these remains. Joan Dale, an archaeologist with the Alaska Heritage Resource Survey, inspected photographs of the remains. After considering the shape of a skull, Dale said they are most likely Southeast Alaska Native. Sitka Tribe of Alaska staff, with the assistance of Forest Service archaeologist Jay Kinsman, exhumed the bones. KCAW General Manager Ken Fate said the removal process went well under the guidance of Jay Kinsman. Overall, it was a well-coordinated effort between KCAW, the Sitka Tribe of Alaska, and the Forest Service. The Sitka Tribe of Alaska will determine a suitable location for interment of the remains. In Sitka, I'm Emily Foreman.
Excavators removing rock for a new diesel plant in Sitka found unexploded blasting material. A consultant from Anchorage is on site this week, removing the material and looking for more explosives. The immediate area was cleared after the Saturday discovery on Jarvis Street. Contractors have piled up boulders as a protection in case a blast happens. The city has asked those in the area not to use radios or cell phones as a precautionary measure. Crews found the material in holes. It was described as possibly Tovex, a water gel explosive commonly used as a replacement for dynamite in mining and other industrial activities. Officials say it may date back to the 1970s when the area was a rock quarry. The Juneau International Airport is finally addressing a long-standing complaint from travelers through the capital city. Beginning in January, food will be served in the departure area, and travelers may notice another change. The long-standing Glacier Restaurant and Lounge is becoming Brandy's Airport Bar. Lisa Fu has more.
Ethan Billings has owned the Juneau Sports Bar and nightclub Marlantini's Lounge for the past 20 years. Now he's getting into the airport concessions business. He recently signed a contract with Juneau International Airport to run food and beverage services for the next 2 to 4 months, starting January 1st.
This opportunity fell in my lap, and I like challenges, and we're ready to rock and roll. So I'm going to keep some existing staff, I'm going to hire some knowledgeable people, and we'll see where we go with it.
Billings has only had a few weeks to prepare. The airport originally solicited short-term proposals for food and beverage concessions this past summer. The airport received proposals from three parties, Abby's Kitchen, Kim Mungle, and 64 Thunderbird LLC. A committee ranked Abby's Kitchen the highest. After entering into negotiations with the airport, Abby's Kitchen terminated the process on December 4th, less than a month before the contract was supposed to begin. Airport Board President Jerry Godkin says the board was very disappointed, but understands.
It was just a big hurdle for them. They had never been through a process where they were getting a liquor license, all the hurdles with the city, the state, and all the things to run a restaurant and run a bar and have to negotiate parking. And it just was a big hurdle, I think, for them with, you know, all those steps, and they're still trying to maintain a successful catering business that they do.
Abby's Kitchen declined to comment for this story. ESS Support Services in Anchorage has held the food and beverage concession contract at Juneau's airport since 1993. It ends December 31st. Billings plans to change the name from Glacier Restaurant to Brandy's Airport Bar, but keep the same menu.
At this point, since this is kind of a late notice and getting going on this, it's going to pretty much be the same at this point. And then when we get the kinks out of the operation and the takeover, we'll look at expanding or subtracting and upgrading the menu or doing whatever we need to do.
Cup of Joe's coffee stand on the first floor will keep the same name. And in late January, another coffee stand is scheduled to open inside the departure lounge. In an area that currently only has vending machines, Billings says the stand will serve food.
The grab-and-go kind of stuff that you can just go grab and take on the plane, as well as coffee and beverages, and then some other snacks as well. It'll be prepackaged stuff, but it won't be candy bars and snack bars. It'll be more sandwich-oriented items.
Billings is contracted to run food and beverage concessions at the airport for up to 4 months. In the meantime, Renee Lurie with the city's finance department says a second RFP for a temporary contract will go out.
We are re-scoping the work that was initially put out there. And, you know, we're allowing vendors to reply. We would welcome Abby's Kitchen replying again, as well as Kim Munkle, 64 Thunderbird, could submit again as well.
Airport architect Catherine Fritz says a total reconstruction of the area currently used for food and beverage will be complete fall of 2016. Fritz says future plans include full-service dining with views out to the airport and expanded service on the secure side.
We're looking at a model that will serve both the secure and non-secure sides from a single kitchen. So we have a lot of great ideas and optimism about the longer-term picture. It's been the short-term interim that has been the real difficult puzzle piece to fit in.
Fritz says the airport is allowing Billings to operate food and beverage services with no revenue to the airport. She says the next contract will have concession fees. In Juneau, I'm Lisa Fu.
And Ketchikan City Council member Russell Wodehouse has resigned after accusations of inappropriate conduct surfaced from his teaching career in Washington State. None of the accusations were ever proven. However, the state revoked his teaching certificate. Wodehouse was appointed to fill a vacancy on the Ketchikan Council, which must now be filled again. KRBD's Layla Carey reports.
During its regular meeting, the council voted 5-1 to accept Wodehouse's resignation, with Marty West voting no. Earlier in the meeting, West read a statement from Wodehouse announcing his decision to resign.
I understand how the document being circulated can be confused as something legitimate or even of a legal nature. It is not. It's a document that merely states the accusations that were made, the same accusations that were concluded to be without merit when I left the Kennewick School District.
The document from the Washington Department of Public Education revokes Wodehouse's teaching license. He was the Kennewick High School drama coach, and the document alleges that after cast parties or plays, Wodehouse would let students stay at his home, that a male and female student shared a room on one occasion, and that Wodehouse called and sent notes and gifts to a female student and allegedly kissed her intimately in his school office. Wodehouse strongly denies the accusations and in an interview with KRBD says he's working with his attorney, Keith Stump, to resolve the issue.
You know, my mistake was not, I didn't realize this was there like this because it was, I had dealt with it in, you know, when I left the school district originally. I left and they couldn't fire me because everything was unfounded. I had the union on my side. And they helped represent me, and the school district couldn't get rid of me, so I just left. They quit offering my class, and so I left the school district, and my license expired that year. And so, you know, one of the things we're looking at is how does the state of Washington try to revoke a license that was already expired?
Wodehouse says he would have stayed on the council, but his son is moving here from Washington, and Wodehouse wants to focus on his family and clearing his name. He says he hopes to be able to run for city council in next October's election. Wodehouse says he has received support from many people.
When I was at work today, several people had come by and said, You know, I wish that you would have stayed on because, you know, we didn't, we think that you could have done some real good there. And, you know, they didn't feel the same way that, you know, some of the public comments were made. So what was nice to have, and I'd gotten a lot of messages and calls and texts and, you know, people tracking me down and saying, you know, keep your chin up, keep up the fight, you don't have anything to worry about.
There was public comment at the council meeting related to Wodehouse and the document. Most addressing the issue suggested that the council change its selection process to include a background check when appointing new members. At the end of the council meeting, West noted that the gossip on social media about her connected with the Wodehouse issue had been vicious. She added that she received an email from Borough Assembly member Agnes Moran questioning whether West was a registered voter, which is required for elected council members. West says she interpreted the email as a warning.
I really felt like, well, now they're looking at me. And, you know, how about it? I've got enough skeletons in my closet to form my own cemetery. And every one of those bag of bones comes with a story. This has really been an eye-opening experience, and it has not been good. I'm disappointed.
West notes that she's in her fifth term on the council and is a registered voter. In Ketchikan, I'm Layla Carey.
And that's all for Raven News for this morning. It's 8 a.m. This is KCAW Sitka. 40 degrees in downtown Sitka and overcast. You can expect light rain diminishing through the day today, light rain developing tonight, and rain tomorrow. Stay tuned for National Public Radio. I'll have a live interview for you at 8:18. Stay tuned if you can. Good morning.